we didn't do that back in my day, man. But anyways, we're jumping into our message this morning. If you turn with your Bibles with me to John 17. John 17. We are talking about mission. And we're talking specifically about our church theme, which is we are the sent. We are the sent. And this message is last week we were talking about God, who is the source of mission. God is a missionary God. God is at the very heart of himself a missionary. This week we're going to talk a little bit about ourselves. We are missionaries. We are missionaries. We're supposed to, at a schedule that we talk about the church together as a whole, as missionaries, and we as a church on mission. But we're going to focus on that a little bit more next week. As I was preparing this message, I felt like this is what was reaching out to me and speaking to me, and what I felt God was asking me to share about to you this morning. So we're talking about mission from more of a personal standpoint. And then I'm not really saying, like, how do we go on mission? But I want to get to the heart of, like, why do we go on mission? What is at the heart of us when we say we are on mission? What are we saying when we say that we are all missionaries? We get our word mission from the Latin word missio, which means sending, to send, right? And so what God does is he sends. And all throughout Scripture, God is sending, right? This is what we talked about a little bit last week. From the beginning of creation to the sending of Abraham, right, to the sending of the Israelites out of Egypt with Moses leading them into the promised land. And then the Father sends the Son into the world as the ultimate missionary, the perfect missionary, the model missionary, right? And then Jesus, the Father and the Son, send the Holy Spirit into the hearts of those who believe. God is always sending, right? And then on top of that, Jesus says to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. God is missional. In other words, if mission is at the very heart of God, if mission is at the very heart of God and forms a huge part of his identity, of who he is, and if we as human beings are made in the image of God, and we believe in him, this God who created everything and created us in his image, then that means that the mission has to be the very heart of who we are, the very heart of us, forming a part of our identity as well. So let me ask you, does it? Does it? Does God's mission form part of who you are? Does God's, is it more than just going out on short-term mission trips? Is it more than just giving to the mission fund? Is it more than just praying for our missionaries? What is God's mission in the world? Last week we talked about God's mission, right? Throughout the story of the gospel, God's mission is to bring redemption through Jesus to all people so that all creation can be fixed and renewed and restored to what it was supposed to be when God created the whole thing to begin with. Right? That's the gospel. That's the gospel story. God creates, God redeems, God restores. And the wonder of it all is that he invites us, he brings us, he asks us to join in and to participate. And we get to play a part in this grand story, right? That God is weaving within history. I mean, that's so amazing. Where he calls us to be a part of what he's doing. He's saying, Josh and Marcus, this is what I'm doing to fix the world, right? I want you to help me do this, to redeem and restore it so that it's new again. I'm asking you to do this with me, to join with me to do this. I mean, can you see? There's no higher calling, right? There's no greater purpose. No, there's no nobler task, no better job than to have to work for the God, the Creator, and for his purposes. But maybe there's some of us around here who say, man, like I know we need to be on mission. I know we need to make Jesus known. But doesn't that kind of seem heavy-handed, man? Like, doesn't that seem kind of narrow to try to convince someone to believe what I believe, right? I mean, this is especially hard in this city, right? In Vancouver. We're Vancouverites, right? You can believe what you want to believe as long as you don't push your beliefs on me. You can believe what you want it to be as long as you keep it in your home, in your church, right? You want to believe what you want to believe. Just don't push it on me, especially if you hold religious beliefs of any kind. This is our city. This is our context. And as Christians in the city, I mean, this is a hard thing, isn't it? Right? We believe we've been given this truth about the realities of this universe and the God who created it. But even for us, sometimes it's hard that even though we believe we have the truth, we feel like we can't share it with others. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to lose our friendships. Well, let me put it this way. I've seen my fair share of sick people in my life, and I've known a lot of sick people. A lot of people really sick. And many of the people who are sick I know of, some, not all, if they're told to change their lifestyle somehow in order to protect their health or prolong their life, or if they're told they need to change their diet or undergo a certain treatment or risk getting worse or dying, right? A lot of people are wired in such a way that they just won't do it, right? So I don't want to change the way I live. I remember meeting this one guy. I was working with this one guy. Well, I wasn't working with him. He's a client of ours when I was working in Calgary. He was this 90-year-old man who just delivered stuff, and every day you'd see him smoking. What are you going to say to him? He's 90 years old, right? He's been smoking his whole life. Like, quit smoking, right? But he won't quit. But imagine your friend or family member, a close friend of yours. You love them dearly, and they're sick, and they're not willing to change. Wouldn't you want to try to convince them to make those changes in order to save themselves? Wouldn't you take it upon yourself to try to persuade them to change, not for your own sake, but for theirs? Right? It's natural. You're in mission, right? This is your mission. I mean, you love them. You want the best for them. You want them to be better. You want them to be healthier. So you need to help them understand, right? You're in mission. This is your mission. And you have to be in mission because, I mean, you've been given this truth, right? But when this truth is combined with your love for this person, there's this dynamic that happens, right? If you know that what that person needs to get out of the situation they're in, this crisis point, and you love them, you have to go on mission. You have to try to convince them. And so being a Christian, if we truly believe that we've been given truth, and then that's combined with our love for people around us, we've got no choice, right? We've really got no choice. I mean, Jesus says eternal life is that we know the one, only true God and Jesus Christ who God has sent into the world. I mean, if this is what we believe to be true, we've got no choice but to show this in our lives and to tell people about it, right? John 13 says that they will know that we are Jesus' disciples by our love. And so if the reality of Christ and Christ crucified is truth to you, if it's truth to you, then man, you've got to know that you've been sent. You have been sent. You've got to know that you are on mission. So I'm going to read this passage, John 17, verse 13, 19. We touched on it last week as well, and I'll pray, and then we'll keep going. Verse 13 in John chapter 17. But now I am coming to you, and he's talking, he's praying, Jesus is praying to the Father here. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they, and he's referring to his disciples, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. Where is it? There we go. From the evil. Oh yeah, it cuts off there. Sorry, I'll read it for you. Verse 15. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord, who prayed this prayer for us. And I pray, God, that you would just dwell within our hearts right now, that we would be so captivated by you, Jesus, that we would have no choice but to share what we have with others. So I pray that you would just place within our hearts this morning just a sense of your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We talked about this passage a little bit last week, and like I said, but I want to give you a sense this morning of our sentness. Our sentness, and I don't know if that's a word or not, but I'm officially declaring sentness a word, okay? Our sentness, and this is what we've been saying along. God sends as part of his identity, right? God is a missional God. God is a missionary. And Jesus is like the ultimate missionary. And throughout John, we get this sense of Jesus' own sentness. It goes back to John 1, where it says in verse 6, that he's talking about John the Baptist here. He says, there was a man sent from God. Sent from God. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light of Jesus Christ. The light Jesus Christ. Then it goes into John 3:16. I'm just giving you a few examples of this. John 3:16, 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but in order to that the world might be saved through him. Let's skip over a few chapters. John 6, verse 29 and verse 38. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. In verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then John 17, verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. This gospel of John here is all about being sent. It's all about mission. This whole book is thick with this theme, right? And Jesus is the model missionary, right? He's the ultimate missionary. He's the sent one, the sent one, the sent one who is in complete and perfect obedience to the one who sent him and accomplishes what he was sent to do. Right? Yeah, Jesus came to die on the cross and to save many. Yes, he came to redeem the world. This is part of his mission. But all of that means nothing if the Father hadn't sent him here for a specific purpose. Right? All of that suffering, all of that pain, all of that sacrifice on the cross would be nothing if he wasn't trying to accomplish something greater, something grander. Jesus was sent here on a mission, and he played his part perfectly. And that same Jesus who was sent here by the Father sends you and me so that we can play our part as well. So in John 17, as we were talking about last week, Jesus is praying this prayer in the final hours of his death, or before his death. These are kind of like his parting words, this whole section of John here. They call this the farewell discourse because he's giving his disciples these final pieces of teaching and wisdom before he goes to the cross. And right before John goes into the story of Jesus getting arrested, Jesus says this prayer. And it's the longest prayer we have of Jesus in all of Scripture. And he's praying, and this is this passage that we have, our particular passage this morning, comes from the middle of this section of this prayer where he's praying for his disciples. And Jesus says this. He says, man, these things I speak into this world. I give this truth to this world that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. And notice what he's saying here, right? He's saying, man, I've spoken these things in this world. I've shown who God is through who I am. I've made God known in my time here in this world, on this earth. I mean, this was my mission, and I've accomplished it, right? There's still a little bit more to go, but I've accomplished what I've set out to do, and I'm continuing to do so, right? I've done it because I want everyone to be filled with joy. And not just joy, but joy that's completely full. Right? And sometimes as Christians, we might feel like, man, I want to do this in my life, but the Bible tells me to do this. God's calling me to do this. I want to do this, but the Bible says, man, I can't do that. And so we feel like our life as Christians has been all about sacrificing and giving up all our desires, right? Sometimes we feel like Christianity, being a Christian, is no fun at all. But what Jesus taught and showed us and modeled for us isn't for us to feel like we constantly are sacrificing our wants and desires in order to be Christians. It's meant to fill us with incredible joy. Joy that we would never, never have known without Him. How? This is part of how. We are all built with this sense of wanting to accomplish something in this life, right? We're all wired to want to fulfill some kind of purpose in this world. We want to make our mark. We all want to do something in this world that's significant. Maybe we can impact lives somehow. Maybe we can change the way things are for the better. Maybe we at least we want to be part of something like that, right? We want to leave a mark. But for the most part, we don't think our careers or our hobbies or our volunteering or our church work, we don't think of this as fulfilling some sort of mission. But in a lot of ways, they are mission. Right? They're an attempt at doing something that makes a difference, to fulfill some sort of purpose, right? So when I was a kid, if you asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would probably have told you I wanted to be Spider-Man, right? As a lot of kids might want to be. But I would not have told you that, man, as a 9-year-old kid, I would not have told you this. Like, man, I want to work in an office all day surrounded by cubicles and spreadsheets, right? I wanted to swing around on a spider web, climbing buildings and saving people's lives and beating up bad guys, right? And this is what you want to do. As kids, we want to be part, even as kids, we want to be part of something important and significant. But if you look at it, our careers are a sort of a mission, right? Some people build their careers up so that they can progress in their careers. Their mission is their career. Man, that's a mission. And so some do it to provide for their families and live a certain quality of life or lifestyle. Man, that's another mission too. Some people have their careers in order to be able to support the things that they're actually passionate about, right? Their hobbies or their volunteering. We're all living in mission somehow. There's a mission for everything. It's part of who we are. We're all working for some greater purpose. But the point is we all want to make a difference. We all want to do something significant, right? And what Jesus is saying here is that I've given the world a glimpse of the truth. I am the truth. I've revealed God to this world. And because of me, people can finally know God, know what He's like, know what makes Him angry, know what makes Him happy, know what makes Him sad, right? I had this mission to make God known, and I finally shown Him and spoke about Him. Why? So that the people who believe in me will take my mission and make it their own. Right? And that mission is going to be their greatest joy. There is no greater mission, no more significant mission. There is no mission that brings greater joy than to be on mission, in mission, to make God known, just like Jesus was doing. And He invites us to be a part of it. As You have sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. The Father sends the Son on the greatest mission in history. And now the Son sends you and He sends me on the most fulfilling and joy-giving mission possible. How amazing is that? So, all right. We know we're sent out on mission into this world, right? We know this. We've heard this. But how? I mean, how can we go on mission? What does it take? What does it look like? How do we have the power to be on mission? It comes from this real connection to Jesus. Jesus says in verse 19, here it is. It's 19, "For their sake I consecrate myself, I dedicate myself, I give myself so that they may be sanctified in truth." Jesus gives of himself for us so that we might know God and the truth, and so that knowing God, would change us and transform us into the people we are meant to be, whom he created us to be. Right? Jesus said in John 10 that he came so that we might have life to the fullest. Now, this is what he means by being sanctified. It means that having the truth roll around in our hearts so that it transforms us and molds us until we're holy. Right? We're set apart. We're wholly dedicated to God. Right? And so that we can be more and more like Jesus in his perfection and his goodness. This is what sanctification is. And you see, until we can know what Jesus did to give of himself, to consecrate himself, to dedicate himself to his mission and all of what this implies for us. And until we allow him to fully sanctify us and make us holy, just like he is holy, we will never be able to experience this joy, the joy of being on mission with him and for him. Because the power for mission comes not from my desire to go and help people, not from my desire and capability to go and pay for a plane ticket to go to Cambodia and build a water filter. My power for mission comes from a real encounter with Jesus and a connection with Jesus. Let me put it, there's a couple ways I want to put this. Say you're involved in two charities. You're volunteering at two charities. One of them might be something you really feel passionate about. You love this charity. You love what they're doing. And maybe it affects you personally somehow, right? The other charity you're involved with, you're volunteering just to pad your resume. You don't really care about what they do. You don't really care about their purpose, their vision, their mission. You're just doing it so that you can get a job or get into a school. Now, which one are you going to pour yourself more into? Which one are you going to feel more deeply? Which one are you going to put more time into and enjoy more? The one you're personally invested in or the one you're just padding your resume with? Right? Without knowing Jesus and having him transform you from the inside out, you'll never be able to engage on his mission and have your joy fulfilled in it like it should. That's the point. Here's another way to look at it. Look at what Jesus says in verse 20 and 21. He says, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Right? If you read this passage, there's this incredible mingling of souls that's happening here, isn't there? Right? There's this part about the unity of the church for mission, which we'll be talking about more next week. But I want to focus on this next part here. Jesus is talking about his intimacy, this intimacy that happens between himself and the Father. I and you and you and me. That's what he's saying, the language that he's using. And then he talks about this same kind of intimacy he's asking, he's praying for this between us and God. Right? This intermingling of souls and hearts, this deep, deep connection that happens between us and God. This is what Jesus is praying for. Let me give you an example. If I don't have a deep and intimate connection with my wife, Cece, how could I ever talk about who she is, right? In a convincing way. I'd only be able to tell you that she likes to drink like gallons of Vita brand lemon iced tea, right? I'd only be able to tell you that she just had her birthday on Friday and that she just turned a certain age that I'm not going to be able to tell you right now, right? I could tell you she's on a plane to Hong Kong for her grandfather's funeral right now, right? And I could tell you a lot of things about her, But I could never fully talk about her in any way that's convincing if I never had a deep connection with her. And it's only because I have this deep connection with her that I can tell you all the things I love about her. Man, all the ways she's changed me and made me into an infinitely better man, right, in the years that we've been together. You'll never get that if I've never had a real encounter with Cece. And just the same, if you've never had a real encounter with Jesus, how can you convincingly tell people about who he is? How are you going to proclaim the beauty and the love and the grace of Jesus impacting your soul if you are not deeply connected with him somehow? And the thing is, God is calling each one of us to serve him, with him, and for him on this mission. And so the question that I have for you this morning is, where is your mission or your powerful mission coming from? Is it kind of come from this sense of guilt? Like, oh man, I really should talk about Jesus with my friend. God's given me this opportunity to talk to him. Like, I got to do it or I'll feel bad about it later. Because it's like my Christian duty. Or is it going to come from this deep and real connection with Jesus where it's like, man, I just need to talk about Jesus because that's who he is in my life. He's changed me. I'm a different man because of who he is and what he's done for me. I mean, forget about the talk about mission for a moment, because that part is secondary to this, right? Connect yourself with Jesus. What's holding you back, man? He gave of himself so that you could become more like him, right? Jesus says eternal life is knowing God the Father and the Son who he sent to us. I mean, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you just know about him? Can you just rip off facts or reel off facts about who Jesus is? Or do you know him, what he's done in your life? What's holding you back? Are you in him and he in you? I mean, do you feel yourself connecting with Jesus? Where are you failing to live a godly and consistent life? What's holding you back? What are you holding on to? You were made for a mission that changes everything. Don't take this for granted. I mean, but you won't be able to get it until you realize that God is breaking through in this world through Jesus to fix things and set things right. And he wants you to be a part of it. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from being blessed so that you could be a blessing to others? This morning is our time of the month where we participate in communion. And in communion, we celebrate who we are as a church. We celebrate our unity as a church. And we remember a part of it. We remember that it is Jesus who allowed all of us to be part of this mission together. The Jesus who went to the cross and died for us. The Jesus who came back to life 3 days later, resurrected into this new body so that we could have new life in him if we put our faith in him as well. We remember this on this most sacred of worship rituals that we have in the church. So let's pray. I'm going to give you a moment right now just to be able to respond to maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you, tugging on your heart somehow. What is God saying to you? What are the areas in your life where God